Your fucking you're a face is a little shit. No, your fucking face. No, your face fucking glasses.
Is shit. You got shit all over your
fucking
face.
Dumb t-shirt you're wearing.
You got shit instead of hair. Shit,
guys,
hair,
you don't. You face. Can't see it, but he's wearing a t-shirt that says, "I hate all minorities."
No,
so
it says,
I just want you to
my
know
beads
how
of love.
Fucking bullshit this guy is.
It's says "pull my beads of love" and it's
is
Scanlan.
It a critical role? Okay, yes. I was say critical role.
It's critical role. Vox Machina.
I watched the not the. Anime. I listened to the first couple podcast episodes of their,
yeah,
of their campaign, and it's good. It's fun. I do actually like it a lot. I just, it's hard for me to like listen to that and not be like, well, why don't I just fucking play?
Yeah, no, you for know? Sure. That's why the animated series is a really
it's
good
better.
Way to
yeah.
do it because it's
at least
it's
you're
shorter,
getting a visual
it's more to the point. Honestly, it's so adult and so rated R. It's
yeah.
so great. It's so perfect. It's everything that they are. Every bit as raunchy as the characters are in the actual D&D campaign. Like, it's
yeah.
it's perfect.
It's amazing to me because if they do this in the mid-2000s, they're just the biggest fucking losers in the world. It's crazy how things change so quickly. If they do it in the 90s, they're satanic.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
So it's like, it's literally crazy how things change so quickly.
Well, did you hear about how much money they got on their Kickstarter?
I bet a shit ton, or, dude. People
so they put like a goal, I think, of like, I don't even remember what the goal was, but it was like less than like $3 million. And then within like the first like 16 hours, they had over $5 million.
Like, that's not a lot of money. And I don't know. It was just like a little bit less than $25 million. That's all it was.
They're sitting there and they're all like talking about it like while they're watching the money come in. And I think they ended up getting up to like $11.3 million or something like that at one point.
Yeah.
Or that might be the final total, or at one point they got to that.
Yeah.
And they made a video and they were sitting there like, oh my God, they took our stretch goal and they're like, hey, here's your stretch goal. Fuck your stretch goal. And then it just went on with it and went way further than they ever thought. And they're like
yeah.
trying to hold themselves from crying, but they're like, also, like, this is the coolest thing that's ever happened. Like, I can't believe people believe in this that much. Like,
I mean,
it's really worth a watch.
Why they needed a Kickstarter, because it sounds like outside of that, they all make plenty of money to be able to fund this.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, probably, but...
Yeah, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm like, well, you're having people pay for your shit rather than just using your money to pay for it.
But they give back a lot of their money to the people and stuff, too.
I mean, okay, well, that's fine. I don't know. I'm just guessing because they're just all famous voice actors and stuff. So, and they do
yeah.
get a lot of fucking work, like, all the time. So
they do, especially because they
have
some of the
most they get.
Famous voice
yeah.
actors there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I agree. But also,
isn't
like,
Ashley Johnson on that?
Yes, she is.
Yeah, and she's, like, fucking famous from a million fucking things. So.
And Laura Bailey, who's even more famous.
I don't care about any- Laura Bailey's more famous than Ashley
I
Johnson.
Think so.
Ashley Johnson's been in a shit like live action shit, not just fucking.
Yeah, Laura Bailey's
like,
just done
in...
like the voice acting for like everything though, cartoons,
yeah,
anime.
I think
like...
Ashley Johnson was in like a '90s sitcom, wasn't she?
I think
she
yeah,
someone else?
I believe she was.
So I think she's done way better than Laura Bailey, but I think you get paid more for in person than you do for. Voice acting too. That's all I'm basing
I think
it
that,
on.
I think I agree with that. But
yeah,
Matt Mercer is an amazing voice actor too.
Yeah, well, I'd say he's the most famous out of all of them, just based on who we've heard of. You know,
well, and like
his name has so much recognition to it.
There's so many times like I'll watch videos of like, can you believe this voice actor is this? And I'm like, oh my god, wait, the voice actor of the English Gaara of Naruto is Vax in Vox Machina.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
It's cool, dude. It's fucking sweet. All right, let's stop talking about those fucking losers.
No, let's talk about those amazing people. We love you.
Welcome back, everybody. We are Soul of a Gamer. Sorry for that long fucking rant.
Gotta have weird intros sometimes.
Yeah. I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And we are doing a regular episode this week.
What the fuck?
I wish we had a
what
button
those?
Now that was like, yay!
Yay! Oh, I should bring those back. Those were fun.
Yeah, we should at some point. They're hard when we're not in the same place because we don't both hear them. I think you can still send it through. It's just like more of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, maybe on this new software I can figure out a way. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. But yep, we're doing a regular episode today. We hope you enjoyed our last regular episode, which was over a month ago.
And don't you ever fucking ask me.
I don't remember
what
it was. So whatever the fuck what it was something. So whatever that was, we hope you enjoyed
it.
We hope you enjoyed our month long reprieve of hot takes. We'll likely be doing this a little bit more because I've gotten busy with school and stuff. So we'll try to get as many regular episodes as we can in as much as we can. But for now, we're just going to try to stick to like once a month at least that we're going to have a regular episode.
For sure, for sure. But we're still going to be doing those hot takes, so send us questions you want.
Yeah, seriously. Soulofagamer@gmail.com, right? Soulofagamerpodcast at gmail.com.
Yes, podcast.
Yes, can't forget the podcast. But why don't we just start this out with Steven? What the fuck are you playing in the last month? We haven't talked about this in a month.
So I've been excited to talk about this one because I finally got to one of the Game of the Year contenders that I've been dying to get a hold of, Black Myth Wukong.
Nice.
This game is so fucking beautiful. The animation, like there's cutscenes that are fully animated in like Japanese paint style. There's full animations in like 3D animation. There's full just like video game looking cutscenes. There's every style of just like Japanese art and Chinese art out there.
I heard there's several whores who play in there too.
Whores?
Yeah, whores.
I don't know about the whores.
I think there's like 15 of them.
Oh wow, there's a lot of whores then.
There's a lot of whores in that.
There's a lot of spiders.
Guys, if you're just saying I'm like, they're just talking about females, I'm talking about everyone.
There's a lot of male whores.
No, to everyone.
And horses.
There's a lot of horses, male whores, females whores, transitioned whores.
No, that's fair.
Just
that's
about fair. A little bit of everything.
I don't know why we're going down this road, but
well, because I have decided that's what's in the game. I think that's what the whole game's about, actually.
Good for you.
Inquiring minds want to know, and I think I've
figured out. If you like Dragon Ball Z, this is the like original story or a trend. Kind of that story.
This is the journey to the West. Yeah, and yes. It's a cool story, but I think it's been done so many times already. I mean,
it has.
God
but this
damn,
is...
it's been like 15 games at least, because we even played Odyssey to the West, which I think was another Sun Wukong kind of, because the guy's name was even Monkey.
Well, Enslaved, you think?
Enslaved,
yeah
Odyssey to the West, right?
Yeah. I think that's like, a separate title.
And it's like everyone's doing it now, and they're just like, well, we can capitalize on this thing that someone wrote that they won't make money from because we're assholes and we don't want to write our own shit anymore.
This is really cool and keeps really true to the original story, though. Shut up. Right. Don't take this away. Like, dude.
All right.
Honestly, because like this is... And a lot of people call this a Souls-like. It's not necessarily a Souls-like. You don't lose any progress from dying. You don't lose
any currency.
Is that
like the definition of a Souls-like? Is it like you lose... Cause I know
that's
you
like
lose
one of the things in Souls-like. Because like,
you can go and grab them back, right?
Yes. In almost in every Souls or From Software game, you gain a currency, like souls, when you kill things. And if you die, you drop those right there. You spawn back at your last camp that you were at. And you have to make it back to where your souls were, or if you die again, you lose them for good.
Oh, you know what would be a crazy way to do that game?
What's that?
You do Dark Souls 1. You're only allowed to activate the first camp.
Dude, actually, you want to hear the craziest playthrough that somebody just accomplished not too long ago?
What's that?
Someone did an entire From Software library run through.
Okay.
All... at level 1, all straight through, without being hit a single time.
Oh my god, what a fucking nerd.
Dude, he completed it and he started crying because like it was the most ridiculous thing he could, because he took 2 years to try to do this.
Yeah.
And he started crying and it was so, like really cool because his girlfriend comes in and starts like holding him and starts crying with him and everyone's like, you deserve to cry after this, dude. I can't believe you sat there and did that for 2 years to grind this out. Like, I can't even imagine taking the dedication to do this and the amount
because,
of torture you went through.
Because it's not a job. That's why you can't imagine it.
Dude, it's insane. Like the
I hope he
the
got
time,
good money for that because it sounds like he was not
well, he streamed
he was
like
it.
Almost the entire process. Yeah. It's like, so he got... He had quite a bit of a following from what I saw, but it was ridiculous. Right. I was like, what the fuck? But
that's crazy.
Yeah.
2 years, too. I mean, I would probably just quit after one game and said, all right, this is really dumb and boring. I'm going to play new games.
Well, that's
that
the
I haven't
thing.
Played
like,
before.
He would like get hit in like the third game and then have to start all the way back over and go
oh,
back
so
to the first.
Oh, so he didn't do it all the way through. He would like have to stop and go back.
Yeah. So if you got
okay,
hit
sorry,
at all,
I thought
you
meant like
start...
he was perfect run. Like,
he had to go through the entire, all seven games without
well,
getting
what,
hit.
What
all
I thought you
one.
Meant.
Oh.
Wait, so he had to, like, so if he got hit in Dark Souls 3, right? Would he have to go back to Dark Souls 1? Or does he just restart Dark Souls? Oh, so he did do a perfect run.
Yes, he had to do a perfect
run. Okay, I see. I thought you meant like if he got hit in 3, he would go back the beginning of 3.
No, he had to go back. Okay. What I heard, it
he
was
needed
a perfect
the
run.
full perfect. Okay. All right.
Yeah, that's why it took him 2 years, because I'm like, it's seven games of the hardest games known to man.
Did Dark Souls 1 through 3, Demon Souls, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I think it was Dark Souls 1 through 3, Demon Souls, Elden Ring, Bloodborne.
That one with the guns, is that Bloodborne? I think that's Bloodborne.
Yeah. Yeah. And was that
it? I couldn't tell you the other ones. That's 6, I think. So maybe just 6 games?
Maybe it was just 6 then.
I don't know any of the,
whatever,
the games they made. So. Oh, well.
Oh, Sekiro. Cool. Sekiro was the last
Sekiro,
one.
Sekiro, nice. Oh, my God. He had to go to fucking Sekiro.
Yeah.
Oh, that poor man. I feel so. That's probably where he was like, fuck my life.
Yeah. I don't think it was in DLC, and he just needed to get through the mainstream bosses so he could skip a lot of bosses and stuff. So,
yeah. All right.
But
well,
I mean,
nice.
It's still just ridiculous. Like, yeah, you still have like to go through like 16 bosses.
If you
bosses
do a first
game,
playthrough of a game, normally you do skip like all the side shit if you can, you know, or at least a little bit of it if you don't feel
Most of the time, you skip shit because you didn't find it. Like, on those games, you have to explore everywhere and sometimes like jump off of cliffs where you're like, wait, what the fuck?
I normally die if I do this.
Yep. But yeah, no, Breath of Wukong's been really amazing for a lot of things. I love that it doesn't have parrying. It's just a dodge and attacking game. Nice. But man, they increased the difficulty with the different amounts of varied bosses and the different abilities of everything, dude. It infuriates me a lot, but it's also like really awesome to get through.
Nice.
It's not bad.
Well, I jump back into Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories.
Of course you did.
Well, like I've mentioned this before where I beat the... So, and I didn't know this, I guess. Maybe I should have paid more attention to how this game works.
Okay.
So I beat the original game a while ago on Sora, and then I went, because I hated it the first playthrough, I went back and I tried it again. And with a little bit more knowledge, I really enjoyed it because there's a lot of deck building. There's a lot of cool stuff to it. Like it just made a lot of sense to try again. And I loved it the second time I played it. So I'm like, okay, when you beat it, you get to unlock Riku's story, who is an opposite character, and you go play as Riku. The problem with Riku is you get no deck customization.
Oh,
so what's cool about the game, they decided, well, we're not going to do that. We're going to give you fixed decks, and that's all you get.
Interesting.
And every level has a different fixed deck, and some of them are really good, and some of them are really fucking bad.
That sucks.
So, yeah, and the boss decks are different from your level decks. So it's like, there's no consistency, which was a little annoying. And also, he doesn't, because you don't get to customize your deck, there's achievements that say get to the top level. So you have to get to level 99. Okay. And normally, that's a really, really shitty grind you have to do in games, right? And you usually find like the best combo you can to do it the quickest way you can. Well, with Riku, you don't get to fucking do that. You get to do it slow fucking crawl. This one guy did the analysis of how long it takes to get from level 40 to level 99 at the fastest speed he could possibly do. And he picked this one spot with this one enemy where if you fight it, every time you hit an enemy, basically, it takes you into a separate world where you fight a bunch of enemies.
Okay.
And if you run away from the world when there's only one enemy left, that enemy is technically still alive. So you can go and hit that enemy again and do the same thing again with a bunch of new enemies.
Okay.
So you can keep farming this one enemy constantly, which is great.
Yeah.
But then you can't quickly kill it. When you're playing the other version of the game, you could literally wipe the entire, all the enemies in less than 2 seconds.
Interesting.
And in this, you have to take, I think it was like 15 seconds per that.
Okay.
So essentially, it's more than like 1,500% of the initial Sora run to get to level 99. But he said it took him from level 40 to 99, 8 hours with mistakes. And then 5.5 if you didn't make any mistakes at all.
Crazy.
And it took me way longer because I didn't do it like that. I started at that spot at level 70 instead because I was making sure to get 5 levels per area. And then I got 10 levels on several areas. So I did this, needless to say, I did this for a long time. I'm at 30 hours into the Riku story, which I think normally takes 5 to 7 to complete.
Oh, jeez.
But I 100% at Riku, so he's done.
Okay.
And then I go back into the fucking Sora because I'm like, yes, now I can get all the achievements for Sora because you can't get several cards until you do the Riku story.
Okay.
And one of the achievements is collect all the fucking cards. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I find out, oh, actually, you also need to do several more things in other games in the collection to unlock certain cards. And I'm like, are you fucking... And one of them is like literally one of the games is just a movie.
Well, watch that movie, man.
You have to watch the entire 2.5 hour long movie to unlock one card. And if you don't do it, you don't get this card. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, are you fucking kidding me?
Just put it on when you go to bed.
I know. It's just like one of the most annoying things they could have possibly done. I get the Riku part because it's part of that game. But now they're adding in other fucking games.
That is a little infuriating. I can see where that's
and
at.
I think I just need 16 more cards, but it's going to take me forever because I have to do other things in other games.
I'm okay with them putting those cards in those places, but not if they're tied to the achievement. Like, say all the ones in the game, but then they still add extra cards afterwards. That's fine.
I agree. Because the achievements are what I want to do with this. I beat both on the hardest difficulty already. Like, there's nothing that I need to do except for doing this fucking cleanup work to get the achievements.
Yeah.
So I'm just really fucking annoyed now because now I can't do that.
Don't make all your extra shit make achievements getting harder.
Yeah, guys. Seriously. Please fucking... Especially in a... This is not like a single game. This is literally a game that has 6 games in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there's like 200 achievements in this game.
Especially because they're all big JRPG long games.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Like I have put 32 hours in one character, 35 hours in the other character. So, but in this one game, it's over 60 hours.
Yep.
In Kingdom Hearts 1, I think I put like 300 or 400 hours already. I know in Kingdom Hearts 2, I put 120 hours. So it's like, it's just going to get worse.
Six hours into it.
Yeah, see, and I still have to do Kingdom Hearts 2 at the hardest difficulty and do all the fucking shit to get all the achievements. But I did a lot of them when I did the original one. When my original playthrough, I got a shit ton of achievements done. So I'm hoping it's easy. But I'm sure there's going to be like, beat this boss in 1 second.
Good luck on that. Good luck on that. All right. Let's get
the game is awesome, guys. You should play it if you get a chance. It's just really difficult sometimes if you want to 100%.
It's just got one of the most convoluted stories ever that everyone's confused about, and you have to play everything in such a weird order. And
I don't have the characters. I still don't understand how they fit into the fucking story. So,
and it mixes a lot of universes because it mixes this Kingdom Hearts people with these Final Fantasy people with these Disney people.
And each of them have their own world. So even though all the Final Fantasy people are from the, like, supposed to be from the same realm, they all have their own planets. So they're all technically different, like very, very different areas they're from. And all of the Disney places are their own planets as well. So they're not even all from the same planet.
And if you want to get a more convoluted story, then just keep diving into the story.
And then you keep adding in more fucking Disney shit every fucking 10 years. They've released 15 more movies. Let's put them all in the fucking game.
Wait, we don't have a game with the Toy Story characters in it yet?
We gotta get going.
I think they just, for the
third one, I think they added Frozen in there or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they added a bunch of shit.
And I'm sure the next one's going to be like, Moana's in it now and fucking whoever else they've fucking released in the last 16 years.
I mean, it's going to happen. But yes.
All right.
So let's get to this one.
Let's jump into the game. All right. We are doing a Hat in Time.
Woo!
Hat in Time follows a protagonist as she searches a planet run by the Mafia for the fuel source of her spaceship. She will have to deal with mafiosos as well as a red-cloaked mustached girl in order to find her fuel and get back home.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that's pretty basic, but I didn't want to... There's not a lot of... Honestly, the story is not that riveting, in my opinion.
it's a kind of a random one, but, you know...
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
The story is kind of... The point is... Yeah, it's like... It reminds me a lot of... And you'll see it in here. It reminds me a lot of, like, old 90s... Collect all the shit game.
Yeah, Ratchet and Clank, Spyro, Banjo.
Actually, you'll see. Okay, so the making of A Hat in Time started with creator Jonas Karlev. Karlev?
I apologize for his names.
I believe most of the people who made the game are from like Denmark and I think one was Norway. I know a guy in the United Kingdom. I know there were some in Australia and some in the US. So like... Okay. It's really a hodgepodge of people, so bear with me. There's not a lot of crazy names, luckily, because I didn't write them all down, because there are a lot of crazy names, and I didn't want to fucking deal with them.
Fair.
He enjoyed playing games with his friends. How did I not write this right? He enjoyed playing games with his friends, such as... Oh, I see what I did. He enjoyed playing games with his friends as a young man. He especially enjoyed playing the game Left 4 Dead, which is a fucking awesome game.
We all played it together.
Yep. In Left 4 Dead, you play as one of four heroes trying to escape a zombie apocalypse. He enjoyed the game so much that he went online looking for secrets in the game. He found that Valve, the creator of the game, had programmed a bunch of upgradable things, but left them out of the final version of the game. He decided to try his hand at modding in order to recreate the game with the upgrades available to players. After many trials and errors, he was able to navigate the source code and release a mod of the game that featured the game's full content. This led him to being more interested in developing mods. He would try to try with other Valve games such as Team Fortress 2, which I think Team Fortress 2 is like one of the most modded fucking games of all time.
Oh, I mean, it's definitely got a shit ton of mods. I think, well, yeah. That's kind of where like Gary's Mod came from or vice versa or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's where, is Gary's Mod the one where you turn into objects and people have to find you?
I think there is that in Gary's Mod. Yeah, there's like a bunch of weird shit in Gary's
Mod.
And
that's become a huge, huge thing now. Like, people love that fucking game type.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Prop Hunt became a huge thing. I think it's even...
Yeah, Prop Hunt, that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Could not remember what it was called. After a short while of doing this, he decided to switch his efforts into creating his own game. He wanted to make it easier on himself, so he switched from using the Valve source code to a newly released Unreal Engine. Unreal Engine is a tool used by game developers and is free to use if the game is a pet project. And they've got like rules. If your game makes like sells over a certain amount of units, that's when they start asking you to pay them.
Oh, okay. So,
which is really fucking cool. They're actually...
I mean, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoever made that engine is a really cool person. They're giving a lot of people the ability to like work on games.
Yeah, for sure.
He started this as a weekend project, which is a gaming... project. Which in the gaming community is called a game jam. And if you guys don't know what a game jam is, it's literally, we've talked about it before. If it gives you essentially a weekend to create a game.
Yep.
So you have essentially 3 days to create an entire game. As many people as you want can be on the team to create it. And by the end of the weekend, that's it. You have your game. No matter how finished or done it is, that is your game. After deciding to make his own game, he got to work creating a bunch of cubes that were holding a sword. He wanted his game, which I think is funny.
I mean, all right.
He wanted his game to be a hack and slash at first, but soon realized that the sword play in the game was not fun. He did enjoy the jumping mechanics he created a lot, though, so he switched his focus of the game to be a platformer. He realized that his project would take longer than a weekend and started to take as much time as he could in making the game, which is great because he could have just stopped there and said, fuck it, I'm done. I did my weekend shit.
I'm glad he kept going.
Smart move.
Yes.
He realized he was he wanted to make the characters be a bit more fleshed out. So he approached his friend, Trey Brown, who was a 3D designer that had actually made a few hats that were featured in Team Fortress 2.
Oh, okay.
A lot of these people really are like Valve fucking fanboys, man.
Nice.
It's crazy. This is where the hat theme of the game came into play. He also loved the collectathon games of the late 90s, such as Mario 64, and his favorite game,
Ratchet and Clank,
Banjo-Kazooie, because he's a fucking piece
Banjo-Kazooie lover.
Woo! Trash. So he wanted to make... Oh, by the way, I wanted to bring this up.
Uh-oh.
I should have re-listened to it, but it's one of my favorite things. I was listening to Small Town Murder, and it's this great podcast by Jimmy and James Petragallo and Jimmy Wisman. And they talk about Banjo for like a short 2-minute rant about how shitty and fucking awful the game is and how they hated it as kids.
Nope.
And I'm like, I'm right there with you guys. it made me laugh because I'm like, finally, people share my fucking sentiment.
I mean, you are on the outskirts of this one.
No, I don't know. There's people out there who clearly fucking
hate it.
I'm
not saying there's people out there. I'm just saying I think I got the majority over here saying it's a good game.
Yeah, so Banjo-Kazooie. So he wanted to make a game that was inspired by those games.
Fuck yeah.
They wanted the art of the game to reflect Legend of Zelda's Wind Waker. So they made the game look more shell-shaded and kept it simple but fun. Which was a big thing. Like, they borrowed a shit ton. Like, I don't think I put it in here, but there's a hookshot in the game. They took that directly from Zelda. Like, they really liked Wind Waker and the art style. And if you look at the game, like, really closely, it is a very similar art style.
Dude, they have a lot of homages to a lot of things in this game.
They do. They really do. They show their
references on their sleeves.
Yeah, and they're very cool about it. They're not like very like shitty about it. So,
oh no, it's with a lot of love. You can definitely tell.
Yeah, they're big time gamers, and that was pretty clear playing the game. The two wanted the game to be good and knew that they were not enough to achieve their goals, so they reached out to the community for help and brought in many modders.
Nice.
Which is crazy because this is how Valve got started too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we went over that in the Half-Life episode. They spent some time working with the modders to get the game ready for the next year's release, but knew they would need more to make the game great. Initially, the game would be just 5 levels and simple. They decided to make overreach goals in order to have some ideas if they were able to implement more for the game. They needed a composer, and I fucking hate them so much. They needed a composer, and they reached out to Banjo-Kazooie composer Grant Kirkhope.
Woo! That's why it's so good.
Yep. They asked him what his price would be and decided to make working with him an overreach goal. So they actually got his price because they were making the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Which I think is really funny. And they put most of the Kickstarter was going to go to pay him to do the composing, which I think is really fucking funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I will fully admit I have no prior knowledge to any of the ties to Banjo-Kazooie. I just saw this on a playlist and thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
But that's awesome that it has a lot of ties.
Yeah, a lot of ties. It's crazy. They really love Banjo-Kazooie. They're fucking losers.
Oh, yeah. I'm a loser too, baby. Woo!
Yeah. They knew they needed funding for the game, so they started a Kickstarter. They set their initial goal at $30,000. Within a day, they had made double that.
Nice.
By the time the Kickstarter ended, they made 10 times the amount they had asked for.
Damn. Hell yeah.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh. His tablet.
My thing froze.
We are now experiencing technical difficulties. Mm-hmm. Please pause while Scott goes through his shitty little tablet device.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm going to switch to my phone here. Give me 1 second, guys. Sorry. Interlude music.
Phenomena.
Keep doing your phenomena. Interlude music.
Phenomena.
You loser.
Dumb
idiot.
Banana bread.
Guy. I'm not allowed to use this song, actually. Pretty sure it's illegal. I think you just committed a crime.
You heard nothing there? Nothing happened.
By the time the Kickstarter ended, they made 10 times the amount they had asked for, which is like literally $300,000. That's awesome. Fucking crazy for $30,000 ask. I mean, it's not as crazy as fucking Critical Role and their $11 million, but still pretty good.
For sure. I mean, any amount over your goal, you're going to feel great about.
Yeah, and I mean, and this is back in like 2012, 2013, I think. Nice. So this is like the beginning of Kickstarter really being like big, I feel like.
I can't remember when I don't even think I even knew about it really until I was like 10 years ago or something, probably.
Yeah, probably. That sounds about right to me, too.
10, 15 years.
This led the team to making several moves to implement their overreach goals. This also led to the delays in the game release. Initially, they wanted the game to release the next year in 2013. This was shelved when they got so much money. They decided to take more time on the game in order to make the game they would be most proud of. The game ended up coming out in 2017, which is way fucking later. Yes. I can't believe people weren't pissed.
I mean,
I think they should have taken all this time, but I don't think people handle that well, you know?
Well, I mean, there's a game right now that's on like one of those Kickstarters that's people have spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars on because each vehicle is like, it's just the most ridiculous game ever.
Yeah.
But I think it's been in development for like 10 years still, and people still haven't got a completed game or gotten these things. Like, people have actually spent like hundreds of thousands of dollars and haven't gotten all the assets they paid for yet. And it's been like 10 years.
People are so dumb. I just wouldn't give money to those things, you know? Or if you're going to, give it like $20.
Yeah.
Don't break the bank. Before the release of the game, the team had a goal to sell 9,000 units in order to make back the Kickstarter money. So, and I don't necessarily know how much that is.
I don't know.
So whatever 9,000 times something equals 300,000, but is that $30 a game?
I think the base price of this game is $30, yeah.
So 30 or 40 bucks probably, and that'll get them their 300,000 back. In order to make the money back for the Kickstarter, by the end of July 2018, they had sold over 500,000 units, and by the end of December 2018, the game had sold over 1 million units.
Yep.
A little bit above expectation, just a tiny bit.
A little bit. I mean...
You know, well, and it's deserved. Funny because I think the best games, and I'm not necessarily adding this to the list. We'll talk about that in the review. Yeah. But like the best games usually start as just like passion projects for people.
Yes.
We think about Baldur's Gate 3 and just how like that really came to fruition because of what was their
Larian
other game?
Studios.
No, oh, well, the other game they released.
Witcher.
No.
Cyberpunk?
The other game Larian Studios released.
Oh, Larian.
You're not
sorry.
Naming
I was thinking CD
Larian
Project. I was naming
game.
CD Projekt Red games for some reason. Larian. No, I don't know what Larian did. Other
it
than...
was the Sin.
Oh,
something?
Divinity or Dragon
Divinity
Age.
Sin or something like that?
Divinity Sins, yeah.
Something like that. But they kickstarted that game, and that money led to them literally creating every other fucking game they did, which to
That's
me
right.
is insane. That's fucking amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. The game was initially going to be released on PC and Mac only. They quickly decided to release it on Xbox and PlayStation as well to expand the outreach. They didn't want to release the game on the Switch, however, due to the Switch's low GPU. They said they would never do it because they would have to change the engine they used in order to make the game accommodate the Switch. Another team reached out to help them, and they were able to make the game work for the Switch as well.
Nice.
A Hat in Time ended up coming out to stellar reviews.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Mm-hmm.
And again, I mentioned it. It was a team of like a bunch of fucking different people, guys. It was from all parts of the world. So really, it's a group effort from everyone. It's not just like someone from Denmark did this and they do the best games. Like everyone really just reached out and helped out as much as they could.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was our about the game. Now let's get to the best and the worst parts of the game.
Yeah.
I'll start it out with one of the best. I think this game does an amazing job at staying fresh with its varying gameplay. 1 minute you're fighting the mob, the next you're the star of a whodunit movie, and the next you're getting chased by a surprisingly scary witch. Hmm. Yeah. What about you?
Surprisingly. Oh, sorry.
The scary witch, yeah. She's a surprisingly scary witch.
I'm just waiting for you to keep going, but then you just like, you stopped and you're expecting me to say something now.
Yeah. That's how flow goes, you know, conversations.
Honestly, the game is good. I did like it. There's some cool positives with the game. Honestly, the movement in the game is really fucking cool. It doesn't feel sluggish. It doesn't, you know, with a lot of these 90s like collectathon games, we've talked about this before. There's this weird glide you do at the end of moving. There's like, there's all this crap that really doesn't play well in third person anything.
Yeah.
And what's nice about today is a lot of that stuff is gone.
Yes.
So all it's these like smoother. New. Yeah, it's so much better. Like the Unreal Engine, you can tell they worked so hard just to make everything feel great. The combat's really cool. Like it's not weird. The hat switching is really cool. I like the different abilities you get from every hat you find.
Oh yeah.
The story's okay. It's not like phenomenal.
Yeah,
by
I mean
any
the story's
means.
More just like it's random. It's like a sketch comedy, honestly.
Yeah, it's honestly
so
there
weird.
To fill in the game, and I think that's about it. Because the game's most important roles are mechanics.
It's now, gameplay negative, and the love of games, honestly.
Yeah. My negative for this game is it is boring.
Okay.
Because like after an hour playing, I was kind of over it. Like
Fair.
You kind of get everything. You understand what's going to happen in the first hour of gameplay. You're like, okay, so there's going to be a bunch of unlockables and a bunch of secrets you can find. And like, it is a little boring in that sense. And I think it has these moments where it picks back up, but then it goes back down. Like I just... This is like a lot of games to me, and they try to be like Banjo, they try to be like Super Mario 64, but the only difference is they don't have that nostalgia factor that makes us want to keep playing.
Well, it's not even like the nostalgia factor, I think, for those games as much as like I think just the pacing of those things are so much better.
Maybe
the way they go about it because like even
I'm actually going to argue with you on this one because Billy Hatcher, to people who played it when they were kids, is an amazing game. Right? They go back to it. They love it. You tried it as an adult and you fucking hated it, but you never played it as a kid. You didn't have nostalgia factor to bring you back into the game and say, this game's actually really fucking fun. You know, like I think a lot of those games really live in our brains with a highlight because we played them as kids.
I mean, I see what you're saying a little bit, but I'm also just saying like with like, I think with Banjo-Kazooie especially, like, there's more than just nostalgia for me. It's literally just how everything is kind of paced and how everything's set up. Like, it just, it's very linear. It makes sense. Like, even, like, the hidden stuff are still, like, just barely off the beaten path.
Yeah.
Whereas this game
is
some of the traversal
crazy.
And stuff, especially finding the different levels and the different areas and even finding different levels inside of different levels, it got, like, really convoluted at times. And you're like, where am I going? What am I doing? Especially when they opened up, like, the fourth world where it's actually, like, almost all open worlds.
I just want you to know, I watched an interview with him talking about the DLC for the game, and he said, I don't think anyone's going to complete the DLC because we've made it so impossible to do this in a respectable time frame. And I was like, why the hell would you say it like that?
That's so ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. And I think that's my biggest negative of the game. You're right. There's just too fucking much.
Yeah.
Some worlds you really enjoy exploring because of the beauty of the world, and this doesn't have that. So they need something else to make the exploring worth it. You know, when I think of games that you go an extra mile to get something really fucking cool, you know, I think of Dead Rising. In the first Dead Rising game, like, you can beat that game in, I don't know, like 3 hours or something, 4 hours. It does not take long to actually beat the game if you really wanted to. But then you find there's
a lot of different ways. And depending on what ending you want, you have to spend different amount of hours into it.
But then you figure out there's a Mega Blaster and you're like, oh, well, I want to fucking use the Mega Blaster. That sounds fucking sweet. And I think in 2, you get the Zero Sword and you're like, well, I really want to get the fucking Zero Sword. So I guess I'm going to spend some extra time. So there's rewards for that. In this game, there is rewards, but they're not as appealing to me.
Yeah, like the different, like, badges and stickers and, like, stuff. Like, they're cool. Just not like anything. They don't do too much for the game. Like, there isn't anything, and even just like the cosmetics of getting different hats or different colors or different, like, different versions of different hats, like, oh, it's a different witch style of hat. Like, I mean, it's interesting, but it doesn't bring you in.
No, it doesn't. And I was just talking about Chain of Memories and how, you know, I put 60 hours into that game. I would never put 60 hours in that hat in time. Never.
That's fair.
Not once. And it's not that the game is bad, it's just that it doesn't hook you like that. Some games hook you like that, and you're like, I can spend my entire life playing this game and be fine.
I think this game hooked me right away, but it didn't hook me for like a lifetime of gameplay. But
think in a year, you're probably going to be forgetting about it, and then you're going to say, oh, yeah, I played that game that one time, but I don't have an interest in playing it again.
I'm going to go back and finish it at one point. I do want to finish it, but, like, one of the other things for me, I guess let's talk about more about some of the positives. I think this game is adorable as hell, and it is funny at times. Like, it really does. Like, it's surprisingly how weird some of the humor is. Like, having two little girls go over their plan to overthrow the mob with illustrations on a chalkboard, and she starts by saying she would choke them, but then that would just be too kind to choke them, and so we should actually grind them up into mush and then put their mush into a jar, and then, as a real fuck you to the mafia, sell those jars, because that would be the saltiest thing you could do. And I was like, what the all these, like, 10-year-old girls.
It was pretty clear that they were having a lot of fun making this, and that's why this, like, me saying all this stuff is the hardest thing, because they had fun with it, and I like it. I like the game. I just don't think it's very appealing for consistent play.
I feel like this game is just to kind of get that fix of that, like, action adventure game, and get those, like, dude, that weird kind of gameplay.
I bet you
anything
their next game is going to be fucking phenomenal.
I bet you it would be, honestly.
Maybe they've already released it. I mean, this game was released in 2017, so...
Yeah, I can't remember if they've done another one since.
They're called... They didn't form their company until, like, 80% through making the games.
So yeah.
I forgot to mention it, because I didn't want to be like, there, this is from this... But it's Gears for something.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of it either.
It's a funny name, and I thought it was pretty entertaining looking at it, but whatever. Okay. Well, Gears for something. Gears of something like that.
Fair. But yeah, no, like, there's even, like, just random things. Like, you can click on the closet in the room and it says, when you do, it has, like, a little message pops up and says, you only wear one outfit, so there's plenty of room for skeletons. Yeah. You're just like, whoa. Actually,
the ship was really, it was a cool little ship.
It was a cool little ship.
I'm a little upset that you didn't like get to do more with the ship and you just kind of used it to travel.
Well, there are a lot of secrets in it, but I didn't explore enough, honestly. Yeah. Because there's even like, there's a bunch of shit you could explore with your camera. Like if you like go into like the camera mode or whatever, that you get extra secrets by putting your camera in different areas. And I'm like, wait, what the fuck? What are you talking about? There's a whole shitload of hidden Easter eggs in this that are insane.
Yeah. All right.
Like, all it's right. crazy.
Well, speaking of Easter eggs, do we want to go on to the Easter egg part? Is that our next one? I can't remember.
Well, we usually go into the first few hours. Is
whatever what it saying. Is.
But I mean, I can go to the Easter eggs next.
I don't know. Let's do the first few hours. I am going to say a fail for me on this one. I was not entertained within the first hour. I kind of got over it super fast, but maybe that's just me. Maybe other people really like this game better, but for some reason I just did not feel it.
Yeah, I actually have a pass. I really took off with this. I really kind of missed that vibe. I haven't played a game as good as this since playing like the Spyro Reignited Trilogy. Or like one of the old Ratchet and Clank games. I went back and played a couple of those, but like I haven't had a game that like fit this kind of vibe in a long time. And it's really random too, with the different levels and worlds. Like it does get a little slow. It is a little just like, you don't know where to go all the time. And you wish there is more guides sometimes, but honestly, the platform is not too hard. The gameplay is kind of fun, and it kind of fixed that just like game that I needed at that moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you that. Like I said, I just think that maybe I got over this game real fast.
That's fair.
I think there's a lot to this game that I just didn't care to find, and I think that's probably my problem, not the world's.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, so next I'll actually go into the Steve Achieves. Talk about some of the achievements of the game.
This one achievement is if you rip the mustache off the little girl and you laugh at her.
That would be a fun achievement.
That would actually be a really funny achievement. I bet they'd put that, if I emailed them, they'd totally put that in the fucking game.
Probably. So some of the achievements are even Easter eggs or nods to things themselves. Like the first one I'm going to bring up is a series of unfortunate accidents.
Okay.
And it's for knocking off all the sitting mafia in Mafia Town. There's just random mafia that are just like sitting on the edge of like a dock or something, and you can knock them over into the water or whatever. And if you knock them all down, you get an achievement.
Nice.
Very random.
Very random.
There is
to do that, but a lot of them are like, this is one thing. Sorry, I should have mentioned this. I didn't like about the game. This is one thing I didn't like a lot is the lack of characterization.
Okay.
So there were a few different characters in this game, but only a few.
Yeah.
A lot of them were basically the same skinned character nonstop, which I think was a point of comedy.
Probably.
But it kind of diminished the game a bit for me because you don't know if those people are going to attack you or you're supposed to like talk to them or you're supposed to, because some of them attacked you, some of them didn't, but they all look exactly the same. So it's just, it's a little annoying to do it that way. And I think it was a point of comedy for the team that made it, but I'm not 100% on that.
Okay.
No. Right. But like that, you saying that reminds me like, oh yeah, well you could really just hit anyone, but you had no idea if hitting them was the right thing to do, you know?
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I agree with that. Especially in the Mafia Town like this.
It's
really hard to tell like who you can talk to and who's going to be violent.
Yeah.
Another achievement called One Punch. And it's for defeating any boss with the one hit hero badge on, which apparently I think was something added in one of the DLCs.
Okay, nice.
The one hit hero badge puts your health bar at always at one.
Yeah.
And I'm so like, that sounds awful. You just get hit and you die. You get one punched.
Yeah. I like it. That's fun.
Okay. Make it difficult.
Makes it like on hard mode or something.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So one of the other ones I liked is there's two different ones for the movie thriller train ride. There's True Detective and False Detective, one for finding all the clues. And then for False Detective, it's for completing the puzzle without finding any clues. And they put in abbreviations, "You suck," with an exclamation mark on that achievement.
Nice. I like it.
I just thought that was really fun. It's just, "You suck." then there was another one, 360 no feet. making a joke at 360 No-Scope for doing a 360 flip on your scooter, which is actually kind of challenging. I don't know if there's like a certain spot you have to try to like launch your scooter off of to get that.
I mean, I would assume so.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I have for some of the achievements. Those are just some of the fun ones.
Yeah, yeah, I like it. Like I said, I think this team had a lot of fun making the game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think everything they did wasn't really for, like, let's take this seriously. It was all for, like, let's see how ridiculous we can get before people start telling us maybe you should focus in a little bit more.
All right, now let's get into some of my favorite parts of the episode, the hunt for the eggs.
There's a shit ton.
Yes, there is.
Literally a shit ton.
I definitely don't have anywhere near all of them written down. I only wrote down a few of them. I found every single one in the game. It's ridiculous.
I threw myself in for 632 hours and found every egg.
The devs had placed a bunch of Easter eggs, and a lot of their scrapped art designs and characters are everywhere in this game. Like in her chest, in her room, you can use your camera to look inside, and there's a bunch of characters that they scrapped in there. There's also a bunch of the frozen creatures and characters in Vanessa's Manor are also scrapped characters in the game, like original designs of characters or characters they just got rid of, and they just decided to freeze them and still use those assets. Like, I think it's so funny how many times they reused assets they didn't use for other things, and that's really inventive, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, great idea.
Yeah.
Unreal makes it so easy to do that anyway, so.
Yeah.
You might as well.
One of the ones that I think you're going to really appreciate and enjoy is in the attic of Vanessa's Manor. If you use your night vision goggles, you can see an image of the floor that is a image of Rasputin from Psychonauts.
Oh, nice. Did they just like it's the really cool.
What?
Well, this game came out before the second game came out, right? Because the second game was like in 2019
or 20, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. I can't remember exactly, but... Yeah, then they would have really had to like it because no one had heard of Psychonauts at that point.
I mean, yeah, but it's really blatant. It's so obvious. It's actually really big on the screen too. Like you can't miss it if you put on the goggles at all. It takes up a good portion of the floor.
That's cool.
So it's really fun. Also, in the Pella Fort on the main ship, Hat Kid can use her ice hat, and you'll fall into a secret room where there's a diary. In that diary, it actually updates after each act you complete and gives you a little like diary synopsis of everything you've done throughout your adventure.
That's really cool.
I thought that was really interesting.
Because it almost sounds like someone's watching you.
No, you're the one going back and writing in your diary every time you go back to the ship.
Are you sure?
Well, I guess I'm not, but you know, it's...
You just wait. It's going to be revealed that the whole thing was being watched by someone else.
Oh, no. There's also in the main ship, there's a scavenger hunt you can find. You can stumble on these notes that are signed by our king, and all of these notes give you a clue to the next note, and you can keep following these notes and you'll find like a almost like a mouse hole or something where you can like with your camera look into, and you can see like a palace with all this stuff that's gold, and it's from the Roach King, and it's got all these different like weird thing set up, and he's got a couple different notes for you at the end, and it's just like this weird like Easter egg hunt throughout the entire thing, and it goes through the entire ship in a lot of weird areas, and it's like, okay, that's so random, but it's kind of cool.
All right.
Yeah,
sounds cool.
And then one other one that I'll bring up, this one was really funny to me, in chapter two of act two as well, the Battle of the Birds, there is a message on a wall that reads warning. And then if you zoom in on it, you can read it on the bottom of the sign. You're a silly goose for zooming in. This is no yoke. I'm warning you. Fine. Who cares? Do I look like I give a flock?
It'd be funnier if it was like, warning. And then underneath that, if you zoom in, it says, I'm a genie in a bottle, baby. I think, you know, if they threw like some song lyrics in there, that would be really fucking funny.
I mean, fair. But I just thought it was funny, like them calling you a silly goose for zooming in, and then they're just like saying weird shit.
If they stop at silly goose, I think it's even funnier because then you're like, why would they do this?
Just kind of gives you more of a show like of what this game is.
Oh, if they just stop at silly goose, you zoom in, you see a silly goose, and then you hear a zook quack or whatever they do, honk.
Yeah,
that would be pretty fucking funny.
That'd be fun. That'd
and then
be
you
fun.
Zoom out, and there's a goose next to you.
So that would, wearing that would a tie because he's a silly goose.
Yes, yeah, that would be pretty fucking funny.
That would be pretty good. That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, and it's probably simpler. Well, actually, no, it's probably not that simple because then they have to create a goose character.
Yeah, exactly. I think what they did was a little simple, but you know.
Yeah. You're probably right.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, some of those are fun Easter eggs that I found that I thought were the ones definitely worth mentioning. There's definitely a lot more and definitely worth looking into. This game, you can definitely tell, was a game from gamers who love games. And yeah, if you like that kind of stuff and kind of want to go down the mind of like a bunch of people who together throwing together a bunch of random ideas, that's this style of game. If you liked It Takes Two or that kind of style where you're just like, oh, I'm fighting a squirrel on top of a plane. Oh, now I'm building going back in time with clocks. Oh, now I'm throwing a nail and retrieving it. Like, what the? Or now I'm a cactus plant shooting a turret of spikes. Like, if you just like that kind of randomness in a game, this is the game for you.
Yeah. Yes and no. I would not compare it to It Takes Two because I think
It Takes Two
is like a fucking masterpiece, honestly, with the amount of cool shit they did in that game.
I said like it. I didn't say it's on
the
par.
Silliness
on
does
kind of
relate a tiny bit. But I mean, the game's okay. You want to jump into reviews? Is that where we're at?
Yeah, let's go to that.
I'm not going to give this a negative review. I'm not going to give it a positive. I think, like, for me, it just sprang up as, like, perfectly average. So I think a 3 out of 5 for me fits for this perfectly. And again, I just think it's me in this case. Because, like, playing it, there was nothing specific that really turned me off of it. But playing it, I'm like, well, I'm just kind of bored. And usually when I'm bored with games, it's because the game didn't interest me as a person. I still think people should go out and try this game because you might really like it. But odds are you'll probably just find it perfectly in the middle, perfectly average, and you'll still like it. You just won't add it to your favorite games of all times list.
Yeah. For me, perfectly average is exactly what I need sometimes. And that's, I have to agree. Like, in a lot of ways, this game is perfectly average. But it's perfectly average, gets rounded out by random chaos and a little bit of cute comedy that I just find adorable as hell. And I absolutely enjoyed that. There, I do get times where I get bored. So I can only play this in stints of like an hour long.
Yeah.
Which I
think is always a problem with trying to like go past that 3 threshold. Because, you know, certain games you play for 25 hours, you're like, have I been up for literally 25 hours? You know, and you're just, and that's how good the game is. But this is never going to be one of those games.
So this is an interesting thing. And I was actually kind of having an argument similar to this with a guy on TikTok, actually, about Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4.
Why are you talking
4.
To people on TikTok?
Because it's
we
fun.
Don't address
I interact.
The crowd. They're idiots.
I gotta interact with people, you know?
If you try to talk to us in an email, I'm going to send you an email back that says you're an idiot.
And I'm going to send you an actual response back because I like talking to people. but no, we got in this argument because for Tony Hawk Pro Skater 3 and 4 remake that's coming out shortly, for number 4, it was more open world when it originally came out.
Yeah.
And had more like missions that you got from talking to people. Well,
that's not Underground, right?
No, it's not Underground. It's before. It's
like
the one right
Tony
before
Hawk
Underground.
4?
Yeah, it's Pro Skater 4.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was the first one to go into the open world format before Underworld, and then
I loved Underground. It's my favorite Tony Hawk game, so
it's one of the best ones. That and American Wasteland,
literally the best one. God, it's so good.
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 2 is probably my favorite, but those are the close seconds. That'll
always hold a special place in your heart. But I
yes,
like the amount of cool shit in it, Underground has always taken it for me.
Yes, but so they're scrapping that kind of open world style and going more back to the traditional pro skater style of the 2-minute runs with the challenges. It's still a lot of the same challenges, still a lot of the same missions, but just in this 2-minute format instead of being more open world. There's a lot of fans that are really mad about it. Yeah, I started talking about how I actually really like the 2-minute structure and really love the original pro skater games and said that 4 is actually the one I feel like most people skipped and gotten a lot of arguments with them about like the 2-minute run thing and like how many people skipped it. And I was like, well, 2 is the most popular of the Pro Skater series by a long shot.
I always thought 1 was.
No, it's 2. 2 is the highest selling.
Oh,
yeah. 2 actually was in the Guinness Book of World Records for the highest selling most extreme sport video game.
There's only like two of those, so.
It sold over 2 million copies. It's basically or just
competing with itself constantly. Not that no one else is making. Extreme well, there's, sports. There was snowboarding games.
There was snowboarding games. There's I know. The 1080 it's and the SSX.
It'd be funnier if it would be more impressive if you just said sports games, but then you just put extreme in there.
Well, like, yeah, because what are you going to can really compete with Madden every year? No, you're not going to compete with Madden every year. Yes. You're not.
You can't beat Madden.
You can't.
I mean, you can't beat FIFA. I think people fucking love FIFA.
You're not wrong there either.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, like all those mainstream sports games, like there's one and only one, and they're monopolized so much anyway because of
they should have just said it's the best skateboarding game. It's like it's the only one, and people are like, well, what about this? And shut the fuck up with that one.
A lot of people like skate.
I know, they're fucking losers, that's why.
There's your hot take for you. But yeah, we got into an argument about that, though, and I was saying, like, I actually really do like structure in video games. Like, sometimes I don't want to sit there and just have open world. Sometimes I like having to, like, plan and strategize my runs and make sure I can accomplish this, and you're forced to replay the map over and over again instead of just going through it once.
Like, as someone who never played 4, it would make way more sense to me playing, like, the pro skater games if they were...
Yes.
Similar to the previous one, right?
Yes,
like,
I agree.
That's always been a thing. Like, if that's why they came out with different styles of games, because that's why Underground was so different, because it's not in the pro skater thing. It's completely different from all the other ones, right? And that's why I like it, because I'm like, oh, this isn't pro skater. This is just like a fucking story mode. That's so fucking cool.
Yeah, and I'm okay with franchises doing that. Like, spin off if you're going to try something new, because then it's its own story. It doesn't have to coincide with everything. It can be its own thing. And that's what
a lot of people are American saying, Wasteland, like, they don't agree with you.
Yeah. Because they're just saying they don't agree with me that they wish that it was the open world, and they're just like,
I can see that too.
Saying that it's like the most popular because it's the one that they love the most. And I'm like,
numbers don't know. I didn't even know they made a 4, to be honest.
Well, and that's what I said. I was like,
I think I stopped at 2.
Yeah, I was like, most people I know stopped at 2, maybe 3, and most of us stopped at 3. And then when all the real open world ones came out, we all dove on those ones. And then we all stopped at Shred and Ride.
They have to understand, too, that Tony Hawk stopped being cool after 2 because other games came out that were way fucking better.
Yeah.
Not like skateboard games, just other better fucking
just other games.
Halo came out soon after 2 came out.
I mean, we all dove away from
everyone's just fucking playing Halo 2 at that point.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you going to do?
We all dove away from sports games. Like, sports games used to run a lot of the gaming world.
And then the people got really creative really fast. And you're like, this is fucking awesome.
Yes. They actually started telling stories instead of selling merchandise.
But if they're arguing about 4, I don't know why the fuck they care so much. Then don't play the fucking game, I guess. Just play 3.
Well, and like the funny thing about it is, like, I almost argued to them, like, you're almost not wanting me to play 4 now out of spite against you, which is kind of funny, because if you're a fan of it, you should want me to play the game and get to experience it in some way.
Here's what you do. You go on TikTok and you only show things of Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4 and 3. How cool it is.
Oh.
No, just 4, and just be like, man, it's so cool with all the 2-minute drills.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really just lean on
really
it.
Really like double down and shit on them.
See, I'm not that kind of guy, though. I can't do that.
All right. Well, okay. That was our little rant for, like, ever. But did you end up saying you're saying perfectly average? You're saying 3 out of 5? Are you going 1 up? Because
I think I'm going a 4 just because I really enjoyed the, like, the charmingness of it.
That's what I thought you were going to, but then you kept saying perfectly average. I'm like, well, are you going 3 or 4? Because it keeps sounding like you're saying
Well, you were convincing me, and, like, you are making solid, like, arguments, but, like, I still wanted to say 4, but I was like...
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, it's kind of like it's a 4 in the sense for me, like, that Fast and the Furious is a 4 out of 5 movie for me. Like, it's just something that's comforting. It's something that's fun, but it's stupid. It doesn't make any sense, but that doesn't matter. Like,
Okay. Yeah, I can see it. Like I said, this game just didn't talk to me.
That's fair.
Sometimes we're going to have these games out there that we love that we know nobody else is going to like if they try it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've got several.
Yeah, so it's just a thing. We're all so different in that case. We try to give you our most generic, like, how we'd approach this if we were the most people, but for this one, it's hard because I'm like, well, I think most people wouldn't really care to play it forever, but maybe they yeah. would. Like, honestly, yeah. I just wanted to stop after the first level, and I made myself keep going. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to finish it. I kind of want to get Jin to play it at some point.
Yeah.
Like, right. I think it's going to be a fun one.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. That yes. was that game. We're probably going to do a hot takes next week, but yes. the next game is...
It is going to be Space Marine 2, Warhammer 40K, whatever, yeah, yeah, blah, 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 yeah. Space Marine 2, whatever
just,
full
just
name
fucking
it is.
Space Marine 2, guys. Shut the fuck up. God, yes. this isn't a, who's the Fallout Boy? This isn't a Fallout Boy song title. Get out of here.
This ain't a scene. It's a goddamn arms race.
All right, guys. We'll catch you on the next yes. one.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.